everybody to the Park and Rec meeting. We'll call the meeting to order. First of all, roll call, Jim Anderson.
Here.
Brandon Middleton.
Here.
Myself, here. Steve Tammet.
Here.
Melissa Norston.
Here.
Els Cetrum.
Here.
Chloe Quinn. Carl Schultes.
Yep.
Julie Osmus. Rob Baumgartner.
Here.
Kurt Heim. Rachel Centellus.
Here.
Ryan Scheffler. Britta Dean. Okay. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda that you have in front of you? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on. Next item is the approval of the minutes of the February 15th Park and Rec Board meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to that? If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the minutes approved. Are there any public comments that we need to hear at this time? Okay, hearing none, the next item is one heck of an item here.
Okay. All right.
Is this starring you, Rob?
It is, you? No.
All right. Okay.
I know, I have it here, but I don't know if I can be able to play it, so sorry, Jim.
Well, you can maybe just pass it around.
Okay.
So I might just, you know, not to interfere with the subject matter, but our chief cook and dishwasher over here is probably going to be in the Pickleball Hall of Fame museum with his video once it goes viral.
Have you seen it? Did Gretchen show it to you?
Maybe.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have seen it.
Have you seen it too?
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
So you guys who haven't seen it, please see it before you leave.
Jeez.
Was it on Facebook?
And I hope not.
I don't even remember who showed me.
Oh, I'm sure Bucko did.
Oh, it wasn't on you.
Oh, well, then he sent it to Manzer and everyone at Public Works. I'll see if I can hook it up to here, and
actually,
so you guys can get a chuckle out of me.
You're techie. You can do it.
So, all right.
It was out at the office, so you said.
So I want to show you this pickleball segment of Real Sports from the HBO guys. The fair warning, there is a comedian on here that she uses a few choice words. So just fair warning on that. It is the Effenheimer, so, and everything. The big thing what I want to show you is the explosion of pickleball. And I know it's been talked about where to put pickleball courts at. And, you know, this helps out kind of just reassuring why where you're saying that it needs to be out of residential areas. Okay, we don't want to put them into neighborhood parks where there's a bunch of houses. Very similar, we don't want to put basketball hoops in by houses anymore because of the noise and everything like that. So we'll play this. It's about a 12-minute video. You'll just really see how pickleball has just exploded.
And now, your host, Rob.
Good evening.
You guys hear it well enough?
We begin tonight with a pop culture pop quiz. What sport can play Leonardo DiCaprio, Kim Kardashian, and George Clooney among its devotees, and also count LeBron James and Tom Brady among its investors? If you said pickleball, you're a winner. If pickleball hasn't already come to your city or town, it will come very soon, because it is fast becoming the thing to do. This despite the fact that many swear it's ruining their towns, game's explosive spread has to be stopped. I'm Eric Rowe with this report from the front lines of America's pickleball.
Just in case you've been living under a rock, a soundproof rock, imagine tennis and ping pong had a baby. A very loud baby. The result is pickleball. That sound and this game are suddenly everywhere. Americans are playing it anytime and any place they can. From driveways to airports, from parking lots to home garages. There are pickleball songs.
Yeah, let me introduce you to this thing called pickleball, where you do these battles and they oversized pickleball.
And pickleball weddings. And a whole following of folks who say this game has changed their lives.
What was your life like before pickleball?
It was black and white before pickleball, and it was living color after pickleball.
Yes, for picklers, the game is less a sport than a religious movement. One that has saved their souls and can save yours too. Which may explain why they're constantly spreading the gospel.
Pickleball creates joy. Come play, feel the joy.
For pickleball players, this is not just a sport, it's a mission. Pickleball players are zealots.
Steve Kuhn found pickle religion at, where else, a local church. After one session in the gym, he was a convert.
It just took hold of me like that.
It absolutely did. And it's not just me. It happens to so many people.
Now Kuhn may be the sport's loudest evangelist, insisting that this game will cure all that ails us.
I think pickleball will save America. And I think America, sadly, feels like it needs some saving right now. And I think pickleball will do it.
How can pickleball save America?
It's bringing people together that otherwise would not be meeting each other. People who are getting away from their computer screens, getting away from Twitter and other social media, and coming out in action and meeting other human beings. People of different races, different ages, different athletic ability, people that might not agree with them on anything else in the world, in politics or any other issue, and they're getting to know them and getting to care about them. And gosh, we need that right now.
But for something that's supposed to be bringing us together, there's one small problem. Pickleball is dividing people all over the country.
Some here in Chestnut Hill say pickleball has become a neighborhood nuisance.
Why not think that pickleball could ever cause problems, right? Well, think again.
Pickleball is creating quite the pickle.
So what's the problem with pickleball? Critics say there are plenty, but the most obvious issue is...
As I was saying, the most obvious issue is the noise. It's plastic on plastic crime. And if you're unlucky enough to live anywhere near a court, you likely consider it a capital offense.
It's like whack, and it's piercing, and it's like boom, and you're talking on the phone, and it's like clack, whack, whack. And the problem is you can't focus on anything but that fucking noise.
Judy Gold is a comedian by trade.
I decided my mother would make a much better GPS woman. Can you imagine? Turn left in 11 miles. Get over there now with your signal on. I want to make sure you're prepared.
But these days, she's not laughing. Ever since a bunch of pickleball players took over the local basketball course near her home in Provincetown, Massachusetts, and began to preach the word.
A lot of people talked about the friends they made and how their personal lives are so much better, and they have friends of all different ages and backgrounds, and you know, and that's great. That's great. But not while I am trying to get some REM sleep.
And it's not just the ball disrupting her sleep. She says it's also the players themselves.
Yeah, harder, please.
Consider pickleball's stuffy uncle, the sport of tennis, which is quieter than a library after closing time. By contrast, when picklers show up, well, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah! Let's go!
There's a culture around tennis. There's an etiquette. With this, it's anything goes. It's adults screaming.
Like, are they screaming?
Fully, oh, what? Mary, it is, oh no, oh wow, oh, I mean, it's, I can't take it.
So we used to come up here, you know, to watch the sun go down, have like a little drink.
Gold used to enjoy evenings on her roof deck. This summer, she says she didn't use it once.
Was is the key word there.
She can't even escape behind walls. Her bedroom is no longer her sanctuary.
Now imagine you've had a stressful day and you just want to get away. Relax. Take some deep breaths. Maybe a cat nap.
You go outside. You want to read. You want to putter in the garden. You want to, you know, converse with your friends. And that's no longer possible.
Rod Mastriani and his neighbors live in Falmouth, Massachusetts. For years, they'd lived in harmony next to this park, where tennis and basketball players played in relative quiet. Then the picklers arrived.
It's a piercing sound that penetrates right into our house. And I now wear headphones, turn the radio on so I can block it out.
Eventually, the neighbors say, they were forced to take extreme action.
How many times would you say you people have sued a town?
Never even thought of that.
Who thought of that?
Well, we weren't getting anywhere. It was the last resort. We didn't have any leverage.
And this is after hundreds of days of having to hear this day after day after day. It became almost intolerable.
Up the road in Provincetown, Judy Gold also went to the authorities, appealing to the town council. Playing them sounds she's recorded from her house.
It's what I wake up to. It's what I work to. It's what I eat to.
But she says the picklers came to City Hall ready to play.
I just would like to share what pickleball has meant to me. I'm getting old. I've had both knees replaced. I've got a bad back. And I found pickleball.
Gold says the fight has been exhausting, but that at least her pain has inspired her art.
Mary, I mean, the greatest thing about this is that I do have a new bit. But I say that about everything. Like, you know, something horrible happens, I'm like, oh, a new material.
Do we have a lot of pickleball players here?
Enjoy your call.
Anyway.
Gold's live show now includes her recounting her town hall fight, including the testimony of pickleball's true believers.
I hadn't left the house for months, and then I found pickleball. Please don't take away the pickleball. I would have nothing without pickleball.
But it's the picklers who are having the last laugh. Judy Gold says she still can't find any peace and quiet. And Rob Mastriani, he's getting out of Dodge and selling his beloved family home. The spread of the sport is only picking up steam, and that's creating an even bigger issue than the noise. Because with more and more Americans playing, picklers are on the land grab, taking over park space everywhere, meant for other activities. In New York City, they even took over a playground used by local kids, infuriating the neighborhood.
They'll be coming for every inch of park space, whether it's basketball, sand volleyball, shuffleboard. I mean, those guys, they're coming for everything.
Mark Tishner and Laura Packard live in Phoenix, where picklers have convinced city officials to convert the tennis courts they've played on for years into pickleball courts.
They are responding to the demand from the pickleball community, which is organized, and they're very loud.
I know this is the pickleball group.
People need to understand what is going on. And it's just not in Phoenix. It's San Diego, it's Los Angeles, it's everywhere. The wake of damage is going to be terrible.
Are there people who think that you are public enemy number one?
Oh, yeah.
Around Arizona, Steve Manolis, who loves the sport so much he teaches it for free, is known as Mr. Pickleball, either with affection or disdain. Why? Because he's undeniably the chief architect of pickleball's spread.
How many courts have you helped build?
I've been involved in probably a build of over 100 pickleball courts.
Over 100 pickleball courts?
Yeah.
He's also written several pamphlets, which teach local picklers how to get courts built in their towns.
So this one is called Introducing Pickleball to Your Community and How to Overcome Objections. And this one is called Presenting Pickleball to Public Parks and Recreation and Other Entities and How to Overcome Objections.
There's a theme there, I think, overcoming objections.
You have a lot of objections.
Yes.
I mean, you're obviously very passionate about this, but would you allow that
pickleball people can be passionate, even aggressive?
Yeah, well, the aggressiveness, my thought on that is we're naturally competitive, right? And we don't come out and say, I'm going to lose today.
But the revolution's biggest win may have come here, in Southern California, where a premier tennis club is not what it used to be. What's the name of this club right now?
The Tennis Club in Newport Beach.
And what will it be called in the years to come?
Probably Newport Beach Pickleball Club. And that hurts. That really, really hurts. But that's the direction that it's going.
For Sean Bollettieri, the club's owner, resistance has been futile. Bollettieri has been a tennis man his whole life.
Tournaments and events is our way to get back to tennis.
A lifelong coach and stepson of one of the sports icons, legendary tennis trainer Nick Bollettieri. But a couple of years ago, Sean began to field calls, loud calls, from pickleball players demanding courts in his club.
I called, of course, Nick, and I'm like, what do you think about pickleball? Pickle what? I tried to explain it to him. He was fully against it. He thought it was crazy.
But Sean saw the start of a trend and the dollars it could bring in and turned two tennis courts into 8 pickleball courts.
Members were really upset. I lost tons of members, tons of tennis members. People called me a traitor. People said it was a disgrace.
Today, 3 years later, 8 pickleball courts have become 47. Dozens of tennis players have left the club. But nearly 2,000 pickleball players have joined, and revenues are up. Unfortunately, Bollettieri says, he now has a new problem. Now that the pickle community has its foot in the door, he says, they won't stop until they take over everything.
In the beginning, there was a lot of gratitude. But today, they have this attitude that they want more, and they want only pickleball. And it's almost like a revolution.
This is a rocket ship. We're going to go from 8 million players to 40 million players before the end of this decade.
Steve Kuhn, the sport's top evangelist, loves what's happening. And like any good evangelist, he's not above getting rich off preaching the word.
Whereas out on the other courts, it's pretty darn hot. This is playable.
Kuhn has now made a massive investment in pickleball, opening his own pickleball facility and launching his own professional league. Yes, perhaps inevitably, Major League Pickleball, or MLP, has arrived. Are you professional pickleball players?
Yes.
Do your loved ones know that?
Like,
they do? They're okay with the fact that...
At first they were a little confused, but now they're...
I'm still confused. But these guys will be laughing all the way to the bank. Pro pickleball is awash in money.
Oh, just tremendous pickleball.
With big-time investors lining up to buy into the hottest new venture in sports. LeBron James just bought himself a team. So did Kevin Durant. And Tom Brady.
I'm super excited to announce that I'm officially joining the MLP family.
And now a generation is starting to learn pickleball from childhood. Forget soccer. Parents are now giving their kids paddles. Yes, pickleball has spoken, loud and clear. The movement will not be stopped, and your town is next. The question is, whose side are you on?
Very.
Oh no, it's gonna be one of those.
Picklers?
Picklers, yes.
Is that your term or
no,
is that
a term? No, that's a thing. That's a thing.
So we should start calling footballers, baseballers, what, picklers?
Picklers.
5 to 8 million players now. Mr. Kuhn says he foresees 40 million by the end of the decade. You buy that?
40 by 30. That's like that's the slogan. Can it happen? It's not a bet. It will continue to grow. And I got to tell you, when it hits China, when it hits India, countries that love racket sports, I think it will really explode.
If the problem is the noise, Why not just change the makeup of the ball?
And the paddle and the racket.
Okay, why not just change it?
Well, they're trying to soften the ball and they're making innovations. They're actually trying to put on the fences. They're trying to put, you know, muffling things. But the people who say that doesn't work say what they're doing is sending the noise straight up and into their houses. But you can. They're trying to make changes. But I got to tell you, I think a lot of picklers like the sound of it. A lot of these people were never good at anything before.
You're a tennis fan. Are you at all worried about the extent to which pickleball is going to be the demise of tennis?
I don't think it'll be the demise of tennis. I don't like that they're using so many tennis courts.
How come all this all one brother play?
No, that's all
right. He was a professional.
And he's very good. He's very good.
Shock. We move on.
So I just feel like we're fortunate enough to make Sperry tennis courts into those pickleball courts, but I see it being become larger here in Wilmer. So I know I'm putting it into the CIP for next year to add more pickleball courts over out by the pool to start developing that area. I know there were some concerns that we didn't put it by Sperry, but when you look at doing park development and of your whole town, you kind of quadrant your town out and you kind of share the wealth around the whole town.
You're thinking behind the pool area,
mm-hmm.
That open area?
Yep. So, and that's where I would thought blacktop basketball courts would be perfect there too.
Access off of 22nd?
Mm-hmm. And then, so then you have the walking path and then you have the soccer fields there, so you got a little bit of a recreational hub there as well. So there could be a parking lot, but there's also street parking there as well, so it could be something that could be developed. So it's coming. So I think it's just a matter of time before we get asked to build more. So
you think six courts, eight courts?
Six to eight. And I know that, so then you look at the tennis piece of it. From what I heard is that the middle school is going to move their tennis court out into the field area and put eight new ones there to tennis. So they have the eight courts there because they use the middle school ones now and then sometimes go over to Miller to use those as well. So
it's nice out by the pool too because it's a non-residential area.
That's why I looked at it that way. Just keeps that noise away from anybody so there's no one griping about it.
Might get some complaints from the stingers during a game, but
we'll see how busy it is. That's why I was looking at putting a parking lot inside of there too though.
Yeah.
So similar to what we did at Sperry.
Yeah.
So
has there been any complaints from Sperry?
None.
People around there?
Mm-mm. I think it's far enough away and then the road traffic helps out too. So just wanted to kind of show you it's a booming sport. So how many people have played? Al?
Nope, I haven't played.
Well, we may have to get everyone out to do it. It's addicting. So
I'll tell you, we have the new mayor of Wilmer who's a regular at the YMCA.
Mm-hmm. He plays a lot. So
for what it's worth. Any other questions or comments on that? All right, next item on the agenda, recreation coordinator position.
We went through, selected Anita Nelson to be the new recreation coordinator. Her main job duties will be adult rec, the aquatic center, bikes, and special needs. So Anita comes, she originally is from Wilmer. She graduated from Wilmer. Went to Southwest to get her degree in Parks and Recreation and worked for 11 years over at Morris at their recreation center and everything. So she comes with really good experience. She's been a swim coach for many, many years in the Morris area. Carl knows her really well.
That's a great hire.
So she'll be able to be really turnkey for the pool because she is she's able to train all the lifeguards and do all the life-saving skills there, so we don't have to go and hire that out. She can train all the lifeguards at that point. So some of it will be, too, is that she'll be able to be more hands-on at the pool as well. So instead of having, I would say, so many managers, that she's going to be able to oversee her staff that way as well. So little bit of a learning curve with her being with the adult rec piece, but I think that she'll be able to handle it just fine. It's just going to have to find officials. That's always been the daunting task about with adult recs and sports, and hopefully she'll be able to energize that a little bit to get more teams into it. So.
Okay. Next item, Public Works, Parks, and Rec Maintenance position.
At the same time, we were able to hire Daniel Rothwell. He goes by DJ. He has a lot of background in HVAC systems. He's done concrete work, electrical work, plumbing work. He's worked at 3M, and he's currently was at the Midwest campus as a maintenance person there, so he has a good idea of what everything needs to happen. He's worked for Chapel for several years, so he's going to really be able to help us out with a lot of the rooftop units and that type of stuff that we have going on now. So that adds a person out here for us. With all the new stuff being built out here, we're going to have to need another person out here. So him, DJ, and Anita will both start on Monday. So looking forward to having the whole team in place now.
Next item, Garfield Ice Rinks Warming House.
All right, Rand brought this up. This is an overview of Garfield, and I think we've talked about this before at times, that this is school property, and let me scroll out of here. So if you can kind of see where the ice rinks are at, and then when we flood this area in here as well, and then they come up through the parking lot here, and then they drive down the path, and that's how they apply the water. The issue's always been is right in here is where the warming house is at. Okay. Does everyone know where the Garfield warming house is at? Okay, it's downstairs. It's a hazard going downstairs because we can never get the snow out of there if it does get heavy snow, and there's not a secondary exit out of there as well. So it's always been talked about what are we going to do with that warming house. And I just recently had discussions with Alex Wolcher and Aaron, what's his last? Harlisky, about this piece of land. And they're trying to bring it up to their buildings and grounds crew because they have no use for this. Okay? So they may ask the city to take that over. So then when that happens, then there could be a possibility of adding a warming house area into here. With talking with Kurt and Gary about it, they would really like to do that because then that takes all the boards and we can store the boards in here in the summertime. And then just the travel back and forth of how many times they had to go from Public Works to Garfield, that everything just be stored there if it's like a three-stall garage, and then one of the stalls will be acting as a warming house.
And that'll be fired up back at the ball field.
Yep.
Still be usable.
Yep. Yeah, we're thinking right here, and if we could actually make it maybe an entrance here that we can just get everything going from that way. So, and this is all going to really, the conversation will need to be happen is with the outdoor sheet of ice. If it comes out here and gets built, what happens to these ice rinks? You know, and everything. Is it still going to be something that we still build the two sheets of ice here, and then this the skating pond, if you want to call it that, and then to put the warming house there? So those conversations will need to happen if we're going to keep those ice rinks running at that time.
Well, I can tell you, like River Lakes has their outdoor rink at the Civic Center,
mm-hmm.
in Painesville, and that gets used more than when they had in tow. Yeah. No.
So those are we've got documentation on the numbers and that type of stuff. You know, it's hard to say if it was a better warming house, would the kids be more apt to go there, knowing that they don't have to go down into the dungeon?
Staff it more than twice a week or three times a week? Or?
Well, it all costs money.
Oh, I get
to
it.
Do it. So, I think there.
I lived at that ice rink, so.
Mm-hmm. I see a trend too, is that kids don't use it as much as what, you know, back in the days probably when you skated. Or you guys.
I was out there, I bet, 7 or 8 times this year, and every time I was out there, there was 50 or more kids out there. Now, that's on the weekends, and like Steve said, the warming house wasn't open for 80 of them, which was disappointing. And okay. I think I said that at the last meeting. Troy Peterson brought his shells down there to let kids warm up, you know. So I think it's...
Is it some of it because they didn't know that the warming house was open? Because it...
It just wasn't open. It's, so, you know, the hours, what, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, Sunday?
Yep.
You know, I get it, we got to pay for the staff to be in there, but kids aren't going to go down there when it's 5, 10 degrees. There's no warming house. I mean...
So you
escape for a half hour and go home because you're cold.
Okay. So those conversations will need to happen if with the outdoor rink conversation that will come out here.
Was there a rink at Lincoln this year?
There was not.
No. Nope. So you used to put ice on Hilltop.
Uh huh.
Does that warming house get used?
We don't staff it.
Yeah, is it open? It's never open.
It's not staffed.
Nope. It's not open.
Nope. It's never. The only ones that we staff. On those nights are in the afternoons at Garfield.
Yeah, when was the last time Lafayette was in this?
Several years.
Yeah. Hey Al, so do you, would it ever, you know, as far as the staffing, once, you know, say if it was a nice winter, would there ever be any consideration from the Hockey Association people maybe to volunteer or, you know, if they did stop, discount their greens or...
I've asked several times, but I have to be a city employee to cover by insurance.
Is that how that works?
They should be a city employee because if they get injured, and then there's a volunteer act out there too that you can do. But
I mean, I think that that's something that if it's a budgetary thing, and you know, I know it's important for you guys to do it, and I know that there's people that would, as long as their kids are there, they would come and do a 2-hour shift or something, and.
Yeah, because I just sit in the parking lot while I was out skating.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the key is it is to get it in viewing sight instead of having it down in the old building there.
So would it possibly be something where the school would sell the property to the city for a buck or something?
Yeah, it'd be a land exchange agreement. That they would do similar to what we did with the turf fields.
Be from like the sidewalk would be kind of the Mason-Dixon line.
Up in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sidewalk.
I'm guessing that this is what they would do. We would have to get it, you know, plotted and everything, and surveyed about where it all becomes, because seeing what they would want to keep for green space on the Garfield side.
Sure.
On the ALC side.
And then they'd still allow people to park there. I mean.
You know, here and on the road, yeah. Because the school's not in session.
Yeah.
So.
The ball field will still be, I mean, will we do upgrades to the ball field if that happens in 2 years? How often does that get used in the summer?
Not very much. It gets more used during the spring for middle school softball.
Okay.
So.
And that was before this came out, right?
Right. So this year is going to kind of tell which fields are going to be used a lot more. With having this pinwheel here and then having that field there, I just don't know how much Miller and Garfield and Gesch will be used. Because we're trying to filter everything out to here, so when the softball association's working the concession stand, it's always busy. Instead of having everything spread out all over. So it's a work in progress. Part of this, too, is with Garfield, they may talk about wanting to give us Roosevelt, too, soccer fields. Because they have no use for that as either, and it doesn't, all the kids stay over basically on the Roosevelt side. They don't cross the road all that much, and so they're like, well, and it's next to the pool, and blah, 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 so it might just...
And that's where all the kids that were coming out here last spring when we locked this up all went over to Roosevelt, didn't they? All those kids that were out here for soccer.
Yes.
It went to Roosevelt.
Yeah, and we do all of our flag football and everything. So so that might be something that comes down the pipe that they might want to say, hey, will you guys take this over? So then because the pool shed, you know, has the irrigation and the lights in it, and then sometimes it's like who owns what, who does this, and all that type of stuff. So it might just be a cleaner act that way. And I guess I might have control of those soccer fields, making them so we can use them more.
Mm-hmm. Do we currently mow the soccer fields and dirt field? where the school is at.
Yeah, but we fix up the, if there's a game, we fix it up. So it's kind of like, you do this, you do that. And so we're working with the school now and the community ed department about making very clear lines about who does what on what property.
So when the soccer field's out of Roosevelt, who does the striping and the lines?
Well, they are doing it now on all of it. So that was an agreement that we made a couple weeks ago. In the past, we had to do the soccer lines. So, but then they would come back and do the youth football lines. So it's just easier that it's their staff that does it all. So.
And all the school soccer's coming out here, you see?
Yes. I've told the AD that, it's great for them to practice here, but we're not really game set up yet. Because mm-hmm. We need bleachers.
Okay. So I'm guessing they're pushing to put the games out here.
Yeah, they had a lot of games here last year and everything. So, because when they get started getting into sections and that type of stuff, they had to play on turf instead of grass. So it's just, I know that we had several ninth grade and JV football games out here, and it wasn't enjoyable because we had to share the sidelines, mm-hmm. and the fan experience part of it wasn't as great as it would be at Hodat because you're not elevated. Soccer's a little bit different, but so. Do you have kids in soccer?
Okay.
So,
but. Is the ultimate goal to bring the track and stadium on here?
Yes. There's a couple individuals that are talking to Marcus Construction about getting some estimates about how that would actually all cost. Mm-hmm. And then a ton of conversations. In the to make that go.
Is there more parking going on here?
Like behind the Civic Center?
Can we talk about that once?
Well, yes, there's a plan. It all depends on if the track and that comes in, because that's going to change how far out that goes, and then we have to change the fire lane, and then do we add like a 20-stall parking spot back there? I see it in the future, too, is that that softball field may become a parking lot, or across behind south of the tennis courts become a parking lot as well.
Interesting. It was busy last fall.
Yeah. Well, some of it is that when they do have the soccer games, that they don't want no one coming through the south entrance. Everyone has to come through the north entrance because of the ticket taking. So there's a lot of things that need to. There's ideas and plans out there and everything. It just then how is it going to get funded?
Can buses park?
Like on this gravel road, like what we have back here.
Somewhere else.
They don't like going on this because when they get down to the hump down here to get onto transportation, they get so far down and then the bottom end hits. Because so, we were going to ask all the high school teams to get picked up from back here when we didn't have the parking lot. And then Kubi came and he bottomed out on the back end. So no more picking up from back there.
So if this all goes through at Garfield, would we rename that the Middleton Ice Rink?
There are going to be a lot of things coming out about naming rights with certain things. So
when you talk about Mr. Middleton, did you know that he already has a plaque at the Houston Field for the most penalty minutes? Steve, you've seen it, right?
I was witnessed. I was there.
All right. That comes up in a lot of conversations about play. We talk about play.
I don't remember it that way.
Well, no, it just came out of over there.
All right, next on the agenda, the 2023 Capital Improvement Program projects.
All right, so the sheet that's got some highlighter looks onto it, that's the capital projects that will be happening this year. And on the left-hand side in the pink are the ones that kind of pertain to our department. So at the beginning, we're going to be fixing the roof that's over the ZAM roof over here on this Cardinal Arena side. So that roof will be getting replaced this year. We'll go back down through here. security system for the Civic Center, so a lot of our doors now will be key fobbed. We won't have any more of the hard keys, so they'll be key fobbed, so that will be through the IT department. Some other parts that we're getting is all this technology in this room. This is part of our stuff. So each room, the meeting rooms, will have all this type of technology, so we'll have all the virtual capabilities of having any type of meeting in here. So all look just like this in the small two small meetings room there. So, and it worked out great last night. Then more wireless networks, so a lot of the access points will be added into the event center, lobby area, Cardinal Arena, so there's more Wi-Fi. They're also looking at upgrading the cell service in here. I think our staff would be appreciative of that because we can't make any cell phone calls after basically you get by the front door.
That was the only complaint from the weekend.
Yeah,
with all those out of town teams.
Yeah. So that they could either hook up onto the Wi-Fi calling, or Bacchus was just in here looking at how we're going to be able to run all these antennas in here to improve our cell service in here. Swanson Field lights, they are already up. So yellows have already been done. The new lights just went on to red yesterday. So they're already hung and everything. So the electrician just needs to come back, wire it all up, and then we'll have two new fields with lights. So that will be much improved for yellow and red down there. The concession stand floor is already completed. We had to do that for code-wise. Usually it was just done by epoxy paint, so then we had Double J go in there, grind the floor down, and recode it. Similar to what the products that are at the shelters at Robbins Island, because we had to build that cove up and everything for health code reason-wise. The playground equipment, the $160,000, now that went towards the fitness park at Sperry. So that all those dollars are accounted for. So when you see other park equipment, which will be Purcell and Hanson Park, that was actually out of the 22 budget, because that's how, when we did the grant and everything, we always kind of had to work backwards with it, get the grant and then get it going for the next year. And the bike and walking trails, we did the 62.5 for that. We're applying for the DNR grant. We've got that submitted to them. They did a quick review of it. They really liked it. They asked us to just put some more additional comments into it and sent it back to them. They really liked it. And I feel very confident that we're going to be able to get the bathroom facility and shelter facility out there this year. So at least get the funding for it and everything. So it won't be as extravagant as what's at the Four Seasons. There are going to be pit bathrooms and everything, but very similar look at what the Four Seasons shelter will look like as far as the copper roof, the siding, and the block on the side. That's the goal that we want to kind of keep it going that way.
Fancy pits.
That's a really good way to put it. So those are the projects that our Park and Rec department will be working on this summer. So if we want to look at Purcell Park, the overview of it, let's see if I can blow it up a little bit. Understanding that, you know, this has a sand base in here, and this will all go back to wood chips, and there is a path already there, so we're going to use that path with the shade. So we're going to bring the park way closer to that path, so it helps out with the ADA requirements that we have. So all this sand will go back into grass. There'll be the cement border that will be going around the whole park. Let me scroll back out of here a little bit, and then you can see it. This is a basketball court there that will be removed as well.
Is that going to be green then?
That's all going to be green space.
Yeah, when the basketball hoop was back there, it was awful. The garbage and
I think there was graffiti on it.
If you put a garbage can back there, then waste management wouldn't pick it up because it was so far off the road. And so if you put the garbage by the road, then they wouldn't go to the garbage and then just throw the trash out back there. So they removed the basketball hoop, which took care of the garbage problem, and now it just sits there unused. So.
Yeah. So we're hoping to get that, you know, done in first part of June.
Can you remind me again where this is located?
6 and
Joanna.
Yeah, I think Joanna. It's kind of tucked up, tucked away.
Is that on the east end?
Yes.
Kind of by Lincoln.
Yes, if you
okay,
got kind of go more towards First Street. That's where it's at. It's on the corner there. And then Hanson Park. This is what the park will look like. A little bit different color scheme and everything, but it'll have all the apparatus together with the swings. Hanson Park, this is up by College. Ridgewater College softball field in the Osseo Meadows area and everything. So that's what this playground will look like. We're using some of the park equipment that's already there. We're bringing it closer to the road. There's like a climber here and another apparatus that we're going to keep there and then bring this all closer to it because this is all pretty much wetland up around this area.
Is the road on the right side of here?
Yeah, it will be like right here.
Okay.
So, bring it closer so then when we put the path in there, it's just a lot closer for us to get to. So then, like, when we go for parks, we're going to have to actually miss a year about putting in those two additional parks. And I think it's, if I remember correctly, it is College View and Southfield Park. That would be the next two.
College View was just recently done, wasn't it?
The wood chips were.
Ah, okay.
So some of it, when Brizendine was here, he went and did a bunch of smaller apparatuses. And instead of just like trying to get the whole park done at one time, so like if you look at Gesh, you'll see a playground there, and then you'll see really old swings. Okay. So we decide if we're going to do the park, we're going to try to do as much as we possibly can, so it's all on the same year, so when you're not replacing someone from 2022 and 1974. So those are the projects that we got coming up this year.
Hey Rob, the north side, Lafayette, where the tennis court and the pickleball courts are, is that still just kind of sitting there?
It's just sitting there. That is probably the next park, major park, the neighborhood park that needs to be, or the community park that needs to be done, similar to what Miller and Rice were.
Okay.
So.
And that's where baseball has been.
Yep.
Last couple of years, right?
Yep, fifth and sixth grade baseball plays there. But so it's like if we're talking big bucks to redo that park, you know, if it's redoing the shelter so it looks similar to like what Rice is like, I mean, we're talking bigger bucks.
Because, you know, that asphalt on the course there is totally
deteriorated.
Yeah.
So that's we're going to have to hire a consultant to get all that stuff done because Northside Park is almost a full city block long, and everything and all that. What's that?
It's a big park.
It's a huge park because you got the baseball field and then the shelter and then down below you have all the apparatuses. And so how do you incorporate all that? Do you try to get something like a soccer field in the bottom half, keep the baseball field, fence it in? You know, so there's. The shelter is going to be the most expensive thing.
And so baseballs move out here?
Fifth and sixth grade?
Mm-hmm.
So, this because of the base length and the mound.
So, one more question just relative to parks. I don't see anything on here with the CIP for the city auditorium, but there was CIP money previously for the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us just a little update on what kind of actions might happen at the auditorium?
That's all under Kyle's realm,
okay.
The auditorium is.
Okay.
So I know that they just got the cleaning results back, and I think it's going to be a pretty hefty penny to get that auditorium cleaned.
And then, because I think the roof was part of that, right?
Roof and windows and everything. So, you know, there's been discussions about what do we do with that building. It doesn't get used as much as it used to and everything like that. So bigger conversation, not at this table that has.
No, sounds good. I wasn't curious if there was some objective that was heading us forward, but it's still kind of being kicked around.
I think they want to preserve it as much as they possibly can, but if, you know.
I know they just paid to have this outfit come in and do a laser.
McDonald and Mac to do a laser, like kind of the facade.
So they could make like a 3D printing of the facade, so they could keep it potentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And then something with the doors. I mean, it's yeah.
I don't think with the Historical Society, and that I don't think we're. There's probably not the dollar amount that we need to get to complete the project. So, well, there's not the funding source that we thought there would be.
Where are they going to hold the All-Star Wrestling when that comes to town?
Out here. Okay. Yep. So he's charging this year, though. So yeah, I think he said on his Facebook post that it was free, but he's charging this year. So, are you going to be the commentator?
No, I'm just curious.
He might be in the ring. What are you talking about? I'm curious. He's one of these guys that will come off the top rope.
When I was a kid, my dad took me there and saw some of the big name boys back in the day.
Yeah. So, I think.
At the auditorium.
Scoville. Yeah. What blue?
Yeah. So that was back at the auditorium. Yeah. They packed the place. My dad took me there too. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions on the CFP projects? All right, next, invest in Wilmer update.
All right, we're getting really, really close of closing all these projects out. We got the final last pay apps for the Rec Fields and Swanson Fields, so those projects will be closed out here. Hopefully, finance can get the paperwork done that the council will start seeing that here in April, along with Robbins Island. This project here with the event center will probably close out at the end of April, so then we'll be able to understand about how much money is left over and what the next phase of that project, or what project would be next. We have preliminary plans for the outdoor rink and everything, so about where it could be placed and somewhat of a budgetary number of what that project would cost. So right now, to put the cover over it and the concrete in, it would be roughly about $1.4 million to do that. And then the boards with glass installed would be around $250,000 to $260,000. So we've always thought it would be close to about a $2 million project. So, and I won't tell you how close we are with the contingency dollars because I don't want to put a number out there. So. The first million is always the first hardest one to get to. So that's what Leslie said. So we're going to have to the council is going to have to make those decisions about what they want to do, because part of the bill is that you can move 10% over from your projects to another project. So, and we're going to be real close to that with the Rec Fields projects, Robbins Island, Swanson Field will not be, because if we remember that we took that contingency down to 3% in order to get the Blue Field project done. So we didn't have the whole 10% contingency on that one. So there will be dollars available.
Coordinator's report, Ryan.
Brian had a meeting. He was touring someone else for with the event center. They want to put a whole show out here, and he's got open skating with the homeschool. So he just wanted to let you guys know that this Thursday there's an auto trade show in the event center. And then on the 23rd, once we take ice out starts tomorrow morning, that we'll start taking that ice out, that Arnold's show will be in here. So the farm, I wouldn't say it's the egg show, but they bring in a lot of their equipment, combines, and all that type of stuff, and the farmers come out and check it all out. So that'll be on the 23rd. The spring show will be using the Cardinal and the event center. That's the 31st through April 1st. The Life Connections is on the 21st, and we have a quick turnover and do the All-Star Wrestling on the 22nd. The Dream Academy is doing their prom here on the 22nd as well, and then we get set up for the Ridgewater High School graduations. So, and we've had a good turnout for the spring ice for the 3-on-3 and some rentals and everything, so hopefully, you know, the dollars keep coming in, so we understand how well it will work here for the spring ice. So, and again, we'll do the summer ice, and then we'll shut down for the month of August to do the maintenance on the compressors and everything like that.
Any board announcements? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.